Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
The fact that the fans have done this, like the breaking of the records and the
yes.
going out to the stores and getting it. It's like, you know, I'm 32, so we're considered geriatric pop stars.
No, I don't think so.
They start trying to put us out to pasture at age 25. Yeah. I'm just happy to be here.
The domination of pop music by Taylor Swift. There was Taylor with Jimmy Fallon and a whole bunch of people. And as you know, if you're a Swiftie or if you're following pop music at all, the new release by Taylor Swift, Tortured Poets Department, with 15 unexpected tracks, is available. So one of the questions I'm asking, because, you know, she said geriatric, one of the questions I'm asking for my generation is, why Taylor Swift? Other acts who matched or came close to matching her appeal, current and or past, who are they? And her legion of international Swifties fans, who are you? We're going to get into all of this. And joining us is Alan Cross, host of the syndicated The Ongoing History of New Music and a Journal of Musical Things with a new podcast, Uncharted Crime and Mayhem in the Music Industry. Alan, thank you so much for making time. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. First of all, congratulations, of course, on your great success and terrific work in keeping music and the history of new music front and center for so many of us. And I remember the conversations you and I used to have in the hallway, and I'm still at the radio station in Hamilton, but we had some great chats. Taylor Swift's rise, how does it compare to other pop rock acts? Who's the only possible, or is there more than one possible comparison?
Well, here's the thing. You can't assume that the pop environment has been static and always been the same since rock and roll and pop music, modern pop music, was born in the 1950s. Everything has changed from the way people consume music to the way people are paid for music to the way music is marketed. It's a completely different beast. And a lot of people will want to compare Taylor Swift to the Beatles. And that is okay to a certain extent if you use metrics that the Beatles used when it came to selling records, charting records, having reactions from fans. But it's much different these days. So while she is, and I'm not going to take it away from her, she is a once-in-a-generation talent who is tremendously prolific in terms of the music that she puts out, tremendously energetic in the number of concerts, big concerts, long concerts she plays. It's a different beast. Back then, the Beatles had Brian Epstein, their manager, and radio was the only way to really get this sort of music out to the masses. Today, Taylor Swift has a much more sophisticated marketing team behind her. She has social media behind her. The rules for, she has streaming behind her. The rules for compiling charts are different than in the Beatles days. So in many ways, it's an apples and oranges comparison. That's not to take anything away from Taylor Swift and what she has done today, but to say that she's bigger than the Beatles or like the Beatles is a bit of a misnomer.
Okay. So why Taylor Swift? What is it about Taylor Swift that makes her such a hugely appealing and successful performer?
Well, first of all, talent, I'll give you that. Secondly, image. Third, she has a knack of connecting with fans. I was at a seminar many years ago at a music conference in the Far East, and there was a discussion about Taylor Swift's lyrics. And one of the things that this person pointed out was that Taylor uses the word you a lot in her lyrics. And by using the word you, it really personalizes things. It really makes the emotional message of the song a lot more connective. So that's something that helps. Secondly, she benefits from help from a lot of different songwriters, co-songwriters, producers, that you know, to augment her talent. So that's something else. And again, you got to go back to this business of marketing and promotion. She has a publicist by the name of Tree Payne. Tree has been with her for a very long time. Nobody gets to Taylor without going through Tree. And everything that you hear about Taylor goes through Tree. It's highly regulated, very, very smartly executed, and just generally incredibly sophisticated. So that helps as well.
Now, I want to ask you about the fans, the Swifties. Let me back up a little bit. I saw Springsteen in New York City 2 years ago for his one-man Springsteen on Broadway show, and fans massed outside the theater when the show was over. And Springsteen drove out, and I just expected him to disappear. But the big SUV stopped. Bruce Springsteen got out, stood on the door frame, Alan, and I'm sure you've probably seen this, and exchanged conversation for about 20 minutes to half an hour with the fans who were standing there. Some of them he recognized who've been following him. I think they call them tramps, don't they? They've been following him for years. There was this incredible interplay between Springsteen and his fans. Now this is a long journey to get from the boss first appearing to where he is now. Does Taylor Swift have the same potential relationship with her fans?
Well, she does it, but at a distance. You know, she will find some fan, deserving super fan, that needs medical bills paid or needs something done for them in their lives, and she'll take care of that. We hear stories about the big bonuses that she gave her road crew because the Eras tour was so successful. So there is that, and I'm sure it's heartfelt. I'm sure it comes from the right place. But you know, again, it's you know we hear about it, and oh, look what a wonderful woman she is. Look what she did for her people. Look what she did for this fan. And you know, that's all part of it. Again, I'm not taking anything away from her talent. I'm just saying that whenever she does something like that, we know about it. And that contributes to her overall image.
Yeah, it's quite the phenomenon. And I'm going to start listening more. I've got a wide spectrum of music that I listen to. I haven't been listening to Taylor Swift, but I'm going to give it a really solid try going forward. It wouldn't be complete though if I didn't ask you for your thoughts on the Travis Kelce situation or the interaction with the yeah, Kansas City Chiefs tight end.
She basically took over the NFL.
She did, yeah.
And you know, it's if you had to, and I'm sure this relationship is 100% real, but again, it was stage managed. At least the information about the relationship was stage managed in such a perfect way on both sides, so that you only got the good stuff. You know, and it's for the entire NFL season. I mean, it was a fairy tale thing where, you know, she had the boyfriend who was a big football star. They go all the way to the Super Bowl. He has a really great game in the Super Bowl. She was seen in the luxury boxes and so on. Her average appearance in a game was less than 30 seconds on camera. You really didn't see her a lot, but you saw her just enough. Again, to have this all stage managed, and the NFL was completely complicit in it, and they loved it because it brought in a lot of new viewers, female viewers under the age of 24. So a lot of young girls started this past year watching football with their dads or their moms or whoever because of the Taylor Swift connection. And again, it was played out marvelously. One thing that I do want people to notice is that where is all the critical coverage of Taylor Swift? You know, you don't even, you don't hear any bad things. You don't hear any missteps. You don't hear any, you know, scandalous things that could have happened. It's, and I'm sure that there's something out there that the paparazzi would love to glom onto, and the tabloids would love to glom onto, but you don't hear it. And again, the question is, how in this day and age, how do you keep any bad stuff or any potentially bad stuff that could be spun into something out of the public eye. It's quite amazing.
It is, because it happens to so many others who have very high-profile careers internationally, and all of a sudden you find out, and we're off chasing down the alleyway, chasing that story about that certain individual. I thank you for coming on. I can't let you go, though, without you telling us about your new podcast, Uncharted Crime and Mayhem in the Music Industry. Tell us about that, please.
True crime is the biggest category in terms of podcasts. And when we were looking for something new to do, podcasts that were available, or topics that were available, we realized that there are very few, if any, true crime podcasts that deal with the world of music. So it seemed to be like a no-brainer for us to go down that particular route. And there were a lot of stories. I'm about to start on one that will deal with the whole Phil Spector situation, where, you know, Lana Clark and all that. There's a story about Led Zeppelin having $200,000 disappearing from a hotel room, and nobody's ever been prosecuted, but I think we've solved that particular crime. There was the Satanic Panic of the 1980s was a big one. The next one that's coming up in about 10 days will deal with the music of Charles Manson. And there is an amazing musical background to Manson and the family that a lot of people don't know about. That's the kind of thing that we explore.
I had said that we would have an opportunity to speak with a Swiftie, one of the, that's what the fans call themselves. And the Swiftie in question, her first name is Taylor, go figure. And her brother, Tom, is the technical producer for this program, and he's on the other side of the glass. Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing great today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Before we bring your brother into this, how excited were you? How dramatically important is it for Swifties when a new disc comes out, as it were, a new album, and then it has the additional 15 songs nobody was expecting?
It's always a production leading into something new like this, and we have definitely been spoiled in the last little bit with all the concerts and the content, and I think Swifties in particular knew this was a big one with all of the drama she has been through in her life in the last few years. So there was lots of excitement, and to be honest, myself, I kind of knew there was going to be something a little extra. She always does something you're not expecting. So I remember I stayed up, you know, to midnight to listen to the first album, went to bed, woke up, and there was a whole new album. And I was like, I knew I should have stayed up till 2. That's on me.
Did you remember why it is and how it is you became involved with Taylor Swift, how you became a Swiftie?
I'm 30 now for context. I was 14 when I first heard her music, and I was in high school, and it was just so much fun, and it was country, and it was just something that really sat with me as a 14-year-old. I think one of the things she does really well is write lyrics that no matter what mood you're in, no matter what stage of life you're in, really relate to you. And from there on, you know, I've had my ups and downs. I've had albums I didn't like. I've had albums I've loved, but I've just kind of been a part of it since then.
Well, let's bring your brother Tom into the conversation here. And Tom was telling me, while it was going on, by the way, how you and the entire family engaged on a project for you to get tickets to see Taylor Swift, and it worked out. Hey, Tom.
Yep, it was quite the production. I swear I was mostly focusing on the show while that was going on.
Thank you.
You know,
appreciate that. So, what did you guys do? Because it was a lottery, wasn't it? It was a big deal. You had to be lucky to get, or very determined and lucky to get the tickets.
Oh, it was a production yet again. I think I probably had close to like 20, 25 different emails signed up through people I knew. And I had just kind of given everyone the rundown on, if you get a code, this is what we need to do. This is the time you need to block off. And everyone was very kind and very excited for this opportunity as well. My mom ended up being the person who got the code. Out of all those emails, only one person got a code. And she was able to give me access to her Ticketmaster account. And even then, when you get the code and you get in, you're not guaranteed tickets. And we were very lucky to kind of get in last minute and click around for a little bit until magically two tickets appeared. And I worked my quickest to get them paid for and closed in.
Yeah, your brother's got a big smile on his face. He's really. Talk to your sister.
Yeah. So how excited are you for the concert, Taylor?
Oh, well, I'm incredibly excited. I did see her in New York when she was in New York. Right. And one of the reasons we wanted to get tickets to see her again is, one, because it's an incredible show. Two, my husband didn't get to see her. And in this process, I think he's become a Swiftie and he was really interested in seeing the concert. And three, I just knew the moment she released a new album, there was going to be new music coming through in this concert. So it's almost like an entirely new experience getting to experience all these new songs as well.
Well, I never thought that I would have the opportunity to speak to a Swiftie, but here we are. This has just happened spontaneously. I said to Tom when I came into the studio, do you think your sister would talk to us on the air? And you worked it out. And Taylor, thank you so much for taking the time. I'm sure you'll just have a terrific time at the concert. And your brother's a good guy, because you knew that.
I like him.
You knew that. Thank you, Taylor.
Thanks, sis.
Thank you very much.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.